let's talk about like the, but yeah, I'll go through a summary, but I kind of want to talk about just like the feeling of all these episodes, because it doesn't actually feel that much like an ending, you know what I mean? It feels like, how would you describe it? It feels like a very like, oh, this is like Cameo City.
It's
oh,
like,
look
it's
at
like
all these
running
characters.
Up the scoreboard. I was looking at like the descriptions, trying to find which ones we meant, because I was like, surely that can't be the actual end of the series.
Oh, it very much was. It very much was. Okay, summary time, and then you guys bounce off it. I think that'll work best, especially for the form of this show. Are you doing it, Matt?
Yeah, I can do it.
Oh,
I
my
just,
goodness!
I
was actually ready
cuff.
Today.
Yeah, Matt summary on top of everything. Wow.
So all right, Matt. Ash, fresh off of becoming the super grand champion of all time of Pokemon forever.
Oh, no, he's done a full season since then, just so we're clear.
Oh yeah, sorry. Slightly less fresh off of doing that. I forgot how many seasons of this. There's just
it's okay because that
show.
Was the winning the champion was in the Sun and Moon, right? And so this was the
oh
journey
no.
It was later.
I'm not
it was later.
About that. I'm not talking about him becoming Pokemon champion. I'm talking about the time when he beat all the other champions in a tournament.
Oh, that's what the pre arc was. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, I'm in now. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, he's gone on this whole like giant arc, and now he's like going back home, and on his way back home, he like reconnects with Brock and Misty, and then we're gonna get a bunch of filler episodes where he just kind of does like old Pokemon stuff. You know, as we were describing in the pre-show, like, they come to a place. There's a problem. They solve the problem through friendship. Team Rocket shenanigans. Blasting off again. And repeat. But through this whole thing, it's instead of the old format where it's like, here's a new Pokemon, it's almost always like, Ash goes to the place and, oh, hey, it's this guy. You know, this Pokemon. It's the Squirtle from the Squirtle Squad. It's the Lapras from Orange Islands. It's his Gengar. At one point, his Pidgeot shows up out of the blue randomly and saves him. It's just like that sort of thing. And there's this whole subplot with like Latias kind of stalking him the whole time.
Because he saves Latias in one of the earlier episodes, and then Latias seems to be in a hurry, and then Latias just like stays invisible and watches all these like one-off adventures. So this is the only like narrative like continuous arc through the whole thing.
Yeah, until it's discovered that after foiling like a big Team Rocket scheme, like there's one episode that's just a gigantic Team Rocket scheme. It's revealed after Latias intervenes and tells Ash the truth through a vision. Latios has been captured by the Pokemon Hunter. That's his name. He doesn't actually have a name. He's just the Pokemon Hunter.
Is it the same
Hunter.
Guy as like the other Pokemon Hunters, or are they just like?
Nope, he's just a guy. He's, in a very nostalgia-driven overarching plot, it's just some
are
dude.
You sure?
I looked this up. I was curious because he has this like really kind of unique design. He has a gun that can turn Pokemon into stone, but he's just a dude. Doesn't even have a name.
You know what? I kind of respect it because bringing in an actual new character at this point, like if they're gonna make him the villain for this mini arc, he should have been showed up the first episode, right? But he just doesn't.
Motivation is seemingly he's going to turn Latios and Latias into stone and then display them and make money from that somehow.
Beautiful.
And he rides a Hydreigon. There's a big fight. He turns a bunch of things into stone until Ash tells Pikachu to use Iron Tail and smashes the gun on his arm. And then everything stops being stone and he gets arrested. And then he's just like, I'll give up crime. Like, it's literally that fast. He just gets arrested, and he's just like, I won't be doing this again. And it's just like, he just gives
The whole time I'm watching, it's like, is this what the other, like, Like, am I remembering Indigo League wrong? Like, I felt like everything had more purpose. And like, and even when we watched the Orange Islands, like, I felt like there was more happening in those episodes. They're the same, like, generic structure. But it felt like these episodes, like, didn't feel like... Like, if someone was actually saying goodbye to a character, I feel like it'd be a lot more meticulous. But instead, it was, like, 9-to-5 standard, you know, we're going to work and we're putting out the same, which, you know, it in some ways is nice, because, like, why would you change, like, the style of it, right? If you wanted to do a post-epilogue movie, like, that might have been a nicer ending.
Yeah.
By the numbers, that's what I'll say this arc was. Nostalgia trip and by the numbers.
Yeah, it feels like somebody... I know it's a trope these days to be like, you know, oh, I didn't like how something was written. It must have been done by AI. But it's kind of got that same like feel of like... I'm not saying it was written by AI, but it's got the same feel of somebody just going in and putting in a prompt like Pokemon Classic Nostalgia, and then just these episodes come out.
It's, you know what it is? It's like, it's the new Marvel problem. You know what I mean? Like the last 5 years of Marvel. Oh, man. And it's what it is in a nutshell is, oh my goodness, we had this amazing,
it really has been
creative,
5 years. That's exhausting.
A great thing. And we're trying to recreate it by just being like, insert generic prompt here. This is without the soul of the thing that happened before. Let's just copy it. You know what I mean? Like that's what it feels like to me a little bit. I was happy to have watched it. I'm not like, it's nice to kind of have this nice little like packaging.
It's like comforting,
but it's not like none of the episodes I was watching and I'm like, oh, I'm really gripped. You know, I'm really. Listen, the last episode, half the episode, the man's just taking a shower and like doing everyday life for like a minute.
Yeah, yeah. The final episode is just, it meanders. It's just like Ash gets home and he's just like, well, I am the super grandmaster. I have beaten every other Pokemon trainer ever. And I guess I'll retire at the age of 12.
it's kind of like a little bit of a... I get it. You know, you've done all this crazy stuff and now you're back to regular life. So like, I like that narratively, right? But it's not really shown
like
that way.
Post convention depression.
I mean, we kind of made the joke about Lord of the Rings earlier, but it sort of feels like Frodo returning to the Shire.
But the difference is I felt it when Frodo returned to the Shire, right? Like it didn't have the same gravity as what I think it intended. Maybe is. And that has more to do with narrative style than I think it has to do with the actual idea.
If they had kind of built up slightly better over the course of the whole season, like, this mini arc of Ash, like, better defining what he means by I want to be a Pokemon master, because it feels like in the last episode he's just like, ah, man, I'm super happy, and then Gary's just like, hey, Ash, so now that you're, like, the super grand champion of everything, when are you going to become a Pokemon master? And Ash is just like, he's right. I'm not a Pokemon master. I'm like, what do you mean?
You're the best trainer
of all time. Because like, he comes up with like, I swear he finds a different reason for it every time.
Yeah, he's just like, actually now I want to befriend every Pokemon ever. And it's just like...
So, okay, that's kind of the ending, right? He goes off on his journey to become, like, the Pokemon Master after this mini arc where we see all our old friends and Pokemon we made along the way. What I will say, though, is if they had drilled in that last episode, if they have drilled kind of the fact, like, he goes back to everyday life and there's actually, like, a bit of drama as him kind of, like, I don't see myself like, he enjoys it for a few days, but then you kind of see him being like a little bit like, I don't see myself doing this for a longer time. Right. Like there's a little bit of that drama.
I think it would have been better if he's just like, if he had accepted he'd achieved his goal of becoming a Pokemon master, but wanted to keep going on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like pretty much.
I think that would have been a better ending. It would have been a better ending than him being like, actually, I'm not a Pokemon master yet. It's just like...
Anyway, once again, happy that it's done. But yeah, I think from a like what I'm expecting for a big finale, right? It's not really final.
No.
Yeah.
I did watch the fight with Leon where he becomes the super grand champion. It's the coronation cup.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a pretty good fight.
Okay.
I appreciated that because he used the theme, right?
Yeah. I actually kind of appreciate Leon as a champion more than I did in his actual game.
Like his character in the anime is actually a little more.
Well, I think he fits the anime better, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, Ash kind of wins through just kind of doing absolutely insane things. Like, I'm going to use Fury Cutter on the floor, and because it's a bug type move, that's going to destroy psychic terrain.
He wins how Yu-Gi won in the first season of Yu-Gi-Oh. That's how he wins.
Yeah,
just random stuff.
It's on the same tier as I will fire my monster with this turtle catapult over the top of your defenders to kill you. That's the kind of logic we're dealing with.
Which is better than an actual Pokemon battle. Tristan, what did you want to say there?
Oh, I was just saying I appreciate him more as like an anime character because he's just kind of like there, and then all the stuff. Yeah, Ash is just like making that up as he goes along at all times. Like, yeah, Ash, like all of Ash's battles are completely by vibes. Like, it's just like, well, that I got your Onyx wet, so I guess actually he's weak to electric now, and it's like, fucking, excuse me? Pardon my French, but what?
Like, Leon is there pulling off actual, like, strategy and type advantage, and, like, and meanwhile, Ash is just like, you know, actually, I'm going to have my Dragonite use an entirely new move that doesn't exist. Also, my Pokemon is, my Dracofish is just going to, like, awaken its power in the middle of the fight.
Right.
And crow arms.
I mean, I guess to be fair, that's what it takes to be a Pokemon Master.
Adaptability.
No, it's not, apparently, according to the Pokemon Master. That's not what it takes to be a
Pokemon. Champion. We gotta use Champion Master separately.
Ash is having a champion time, and by that we mean he's, like, speedbagging Leon.
he's using hacks. That's what it is. Anyway, no wonder it took him 25 seasons to finally win. Or, sorry, it was a little earlier for the first win, but still. It's like, he never even learned type advantages. I mean, he would have had an easy job if he actually trained his Pokemon up.
Honestly, the fight with Leon feels like more of a, like, culmination finale.
I think you're right.
You
get lots of cutaways as, like, the Pokemon, like, do things to, like, to the people who, like, interacted with that. Like, when he sends out Mega Lucario, it like cuts to the people who, like, give the Lucario in X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel there. Piplup is cheerleading. It just feels like more interesting than Ash fighting the Pokemon Hunter.
Pretty much.
So I think we're right. I think it's just an epilogue. Like, what I ended up watching was the when you finish a game and you're still running around, like, doing side quests. Like, that's kind of the feeling, which maybe that's a really meta, you know, maybe that's what they're going for.
Maybe. Have you ever seen Jill Haver's content on YouTube?
I have not.
He's that guy who does all the rotoscoping stuff. He's really good, but he's got a video where it's like checking in with like an adventure game after the ending.
Okay.
And the hero is just like, yeah, well, everything's kind of resolved. And he like married this one NPC and she has like three lines of dialogue. And she's like, I hope there's more cheese in town. And he's like, there is. I bought all of the cheese.
Okay, maybe we can. I want to go into a little bit of the farewells to some of the characters, maybe now. I know this is going to be Ash. Like this, like we're just going to call the episode Ash or whatever. But you kind of see Misty show up, right? Who's, I don't know if Ash has gone taller or Misty's gone shorter, but one of those two things has happened. I haven't decided which one. But yeah, she shows up and she's like literally the same character. Brock was like helping someone, being a chef at like a restaurant. And then the woman has her actual like fiance coming back that apparently Brock didn't know about. And so he's crazy. Like, okay, I'll leave with you guys. Like that was it. That was enough
that's
to
like
give up his
almost
chef.
Almost unfair to Brock. That's bananas. Like what?
So yeah, he leaves there. I mean, I guess he's a Pokemon doctor, right? Narratively at this point from before.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like on the last episode, they kind of like, yeah, walk away, like walk separately from, like to their own towns, right? Where they're the gym leaders.
It's a little weird of a, like, it's a little weird of a separation. Cause it's just, like the last episode just ends with them like seeing Latios and Latias off. And yeah. Then this episode starts with them like, well, bye Ash, I guess. And they just leave.
Later, nerd.
And then I will also say, like, Team Rocket actually probably has, to me, they actually have a fight, like the mini plot here. They all get mad at each other, and then through the power of trying to catch Pikachu, they reunite instead of working at like whatever. I think they're like cafeteria, like working at a cafeteria, and then they're like, they literally all of them are like out for a smoke break essentially, and they're all just like depressed at this job, and then they all decide to try to catch Pikachu, and then they go blasting off again. But this time, when they go blasting off, they hold hands, and it's like they're flying out literally. And you know what?
And
narratively,
like, oh man, I miss this.
Literally. They're actually the main characters of the show, because like Ash Ketchum achieved his dream, but they're really the, you know, the persistent ones that just keep going, you know, no matter
how
many times they fail.
Like really, really close to getting Pikachu this time. Ash just forgot all of his other Pokemon, and
the MacGuffin.
Well, they're only saved because Ash's freaking Pidgeot just comes
out of
nowhere.
Deus Ex Machina, that's what it was. There it is with Pidgeot. Who they had to clarify that he evolved. No, I think it was fine. I think it stayed true to the fact that it is a kid's show. It's not trying to tell any deeper stories.
Absolutely.
It's like this is the generic content we've been giving you for 25 years, and it's for kids. Like it's not. If you're 10, you're done. Okay, 11, you're too smart for this.
For this series, they could have gone a bit more. Like I know it's a kid's show, but this product was specifically aimed at like closing out the Ash's journey, which like 10-year-olds don't care about.
Exactly. I mean, the Pokemon. What's the like the one with red, right? Like that's the show that they kind of, that's for the adults kind of style or more style.
I really should actually get around to like finishing that. I did watch it like years
it, it's
ago.
Still more it, like a typical anime out. than a kid's show. Yeah.
I think I just would have appreciated if, you know, closing out the saga of Ash Ketchum, they were like, okay, here's like, I don't need like people to die or something. I just need like, you know, a little
everyone's
bit more
doing this
like,
now.
Plot
yeah.
complexity.
Yeah. You do like the old like 80s movie. Here's where they're at now.
But you're totally right that like after watching these, I'm like, oh no, totally the arc before was the actual final arc, and this is just like a good, like a feel good kind of end of season type thing that they're not really trying to do anything new. They're really trying to just kind of be like, oh, and then Ash came back and started living normal life, and then it was kind of like eh, and so he went back kind of out. Like that's kind of the story told, right? Met all his old friends, and then he's gonna keep on his journey, and I'm sure he'll appear in future Pokemon shows as like a
natural return in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
There's only one thing I disagree with about the whole finale thing.
Go for it.
Cynthia should have been the final one, not Leon.
I kind of see it, but I don't know. Leon has Charizard privilege in like the biggest way.
Yeah, but Cynthia is like infamously a jump scare.
I agree.
I still remember that one house that you just go in and just Cynthia just attacks you.
Oh, I need to, sorry, like, speaking of jump scares, I need to say, there's one episode that I literally thought that's how they're going to end Team Rocket, because they didn't appear in the next episode, but there's an episode where there's, like, a monster, or, like someone's haunting Brock, because he's sad, or whatever, and literally, that episode ends with Team Rocket eating food that's invisible, and I'm like, yo, this is it. They're stuck here eating food forever. Like, that's it. That's the way they should end Team Rocket. And then they eventually grow hungry and die. Like, that's like
peak Team Rocket, though. Like, that's how their story ends in my mind. Like,
they literally, the Pokemon had an evil witch smile as the episode ended. Like, that was the whole edit. I want to talk about Ash. Let's talk about Ash specifically, okay? This kind of final thing could have happened 10 years in, 15 years in. Like, I think it was good that they finally did it, because Ash as a character, I think, is fine. But I think every new season can have new characters. Like, you don't need to just do Ash, right?
Yeah. I'm not against them ending Ash. I think honestly, if they had had it like change characters every couple seasons, it would have been smoother. Because like, again, I kind of brought it up earlier, but because this is so nostalgia laden, it like canonizes everything basically, which at minimum, like trying to sort out how the time of Pokemon works is crazy.
It's champion time. Leon just told you.
Well, it's like, champ time. It's champ time. Okay.
There's no champion time. He's referring to a different like scale of, you know, how it works.
It's never explained, the timeline. Like, it's impossible that it's the same Ash, or if it is the same Ash, the man literally, like, does every year over again.
It is deeply funny. It's like, oh, what? You're still 10? How's that working out, champ?
But, like, he's 10, and then, like, characters around him, like, live full lives by the time he sees
characters
them.
Characters around him live full lives, develop, go on, like,
marry, have kids.
Brock almost got married.
Several of his Pokemon literally like are implied to have had children, and Ash is still like, yeah, I'm 11.
I'm 12, and what is this?
I wonder. Okay, so from like a creation perspective, I think this is way better for new seasons. Like,
absolutely.
If they actually want Pokemon for a new generation, they need to get rid of Ash, because it was like, oh, this character that doesn't really change.
And Ash not changing is also a bit of an issue, just because of, like, Ash is very much, Ash character-wise is very much rooted in the time that he, like, was created. Mm-hmm. Like, the time of anime and children's programming. Yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, this is the main character. They're a moron. But they succeed at everything.
I will say, this Ash, though, just felt, like, sarcastic. Like, a little bland and sarcastic, but felt competent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel the same Ash as, like, when the show started.
Yeah.
It felt like Ash, like, actually just kind of, like, every situation is, like, this man does a flip, okay? I feel like this is not the same character that we started off, where it's just, like, struggling the whole time, you know?
No, that's a good point. Like, at one point, he just tackles the guy off of the Hydreigon, the Pokemon hunter.
And he, like, doesn't really, like, never stressed, really, right? And I feel like in the earlier seasons, there's a lot more yelling. Just a lot more of that.
I wish I could be that unbothered.
Yeah, I think, though, like, yeah, if you want to tell a concrete new story, you kind of need some new characters with... reintroduce them, right? It can't just be Ash and all the new characters we tag along with. Because Ash is supposed to just be the every person, but that can get tiring as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you literally... It's like... Even Goku, to me, is a more interesting character, despite how dumb he is. Because at least Goku is like, okay, one track driven, let me fight the strongest people in the world, all right? And it's like, at some point you're like, okay, this is annoying, but at least there's like a purpose and like some definition to his character. Why Ash to me feels a lot more like, literally they could do a first person view from Ash's eyes and the episodes would be fine, you know? Like,
yeah.
I need a VR Pokemon season. That's what we need. Anyway, sorry. I guess all that to go through. Do you feel like you have that kind of nostalgia for Ash specifically? And then this kind of whole ending, or did it kind of, yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
I think I have a good amount of nostalgia for Ash, but I think personally in the anime, I've always kind of liked the people around Ash more than himself.
Pretty much. I like.
Like, Ash I always think. Sorry.
Ash has the problem for me that, like, he started as, like, oh, we need, like, a face character for the player. And he can't be, like, too much of a character on his own, apart from, like, generic shonen, I'm gonna do the thing you do in the video game. And that's fine, but, like, it's moved on to such a point, like, we're going on, like, 30 years of this. Very nearly. And I guess it's just like, it's not sustainable the way it was. That like Pokemon has done so much more since Gen 1. Like, just as far as like, you know, all the different like in-game activities. Obviously that changes and it comes and goes as it goes. You know, like Pokemon contests are a thing of the past. You know, but I think it would be nice whenever they have like a new region, just have a character that like does that thing without them being a side character. Like Don's great and Mei is great, and like their whole side things to like do their respective contests are like really nice. Especially because in Don's case, they went out of their way to like fix the criticisms people had of Mei. because you can tell they thought that like Pokemon contests and Hoenn were going to be like way cooler on the screen than they actually ended up being. And they're like, oh, people hate this, huh?
Yeah, and then you have Dawn, then you have Serena, who exists to fix the problems with Dawn. It's the Pokemon contest evolution has been wild.
Yeah, it's just weird to me that they iterate so much on Ash's like companions, but never Ash. It's like if Doctor Who never changed out the Doctor and only ever changed out the companions without, like, any kind of, you know?
It just grows stale after some point, you know what I mean? And it's if you want this, like, biggest IP in the world to continue, and the anime being a large part of it, you need to bring in new seasons where people can be like, oh, this is a fresh thing. This isn't my parents' Pokemon anymore, you know?
I see the point you're making. I think the problem is they don't have to do that objectively.
No. Literally, a parent will show the kid, and the kid will watch Ash. Because that's what's going to happen. Everyone's just going to watch Indigo League no matter what.
I think you're showing Pokemon, you're watching a new season?
Sorry?
I think that's ultimately the problem with Pokemon as a franchise. It's just like, you can approach it from the perspective of like wanting creativity and like valuing artistic vision. And Pokemon as a company is like, well, I mean, we're going to make all of the money on Earth whether or not we replace Ash, so let's just stick with the status quo, because that sounds easier.
They did decide now to get rid of Ash, so it feels like they actually have the creative freedom to do so now. Like, I think it'll help people making the new show that they're a little not... Like when I was watching this, I'll call it the epilogue here, right? When I was watching this little arc, I'm like, man, this feels like some writers are just, like, tired creatively, you know?
No, I was going to say, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. Pokemon doesn't really feel the need to, like, cater itself to like what creatively it needs as like a piece of art. It just really comes down to what the creators themselves want to do, and in a way, like, I respect that, because, you know, obviously the people on the show are still working on, you know, their thing, but it just feels a little bit cynical where they're like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say earlier that, like, whenever I think back on Pokemon seasons, I tend not to think about like, oh man, this is the thing that Ash did, or this is how Ash was. I tend to be like, oh man, I love Brock and Misty and May and her brother, whose name I forget, and Dawn and Serena. Like, you know, these are great characters. And then Ash is also there.
And like all the Pokemon movies, for instance, right? Like they have it's the title Pokemon that brings you to those movies. Oh, look at the legendary or the mystical whatever Pokemon.
And yeah, exactly.
What's the big arc, right? It's not Ash. Yeah. Ash is just there for us to know
what's
happening.
One time that Ash really has a bit of like, I like Ash as a character in one of the movies, especially is the Lucario movie, which I will.
I like that one a lot.
I will rep that movie endlessly. It's really good. Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, I believe it is.
Yep. It's very good.
Side note.
I feel like Ash is a better character in the movies.
Oh, absolutely. Ash is a better movie, or character in the movies, yeah.
He has more... Because the movies have a plot that they're trying to get through, right? So Ash actually is a more of a hero, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Ash has to do things in the movies, or else it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
And then in the TV show, like, there are times where Ash... Yeah, they all collectively just kind of solve one basic problem per episode, right? So...
Yeah, pretty much.
It makes Ash stand out a little less.
I think probably one of the best encapsulations of like the non-dynamic nature of Ash is that like the last 10 episodes all take place after Ash has become the grand super champion of all Pokemon ever. And not once during his fight with the Pokemon Hunter did I feel like, oh man, this Pokemon Hunter is going to like lose badly because he doesn't know who he's up against. I'm like, oh, Ash is getting his like teeth punched in.
Yeah, Ash never does the trope where like you know who you're facing. You know what I mean? Like someone's like really cocky, and then like
I'm not expecting him to be cocky. I'm just expecting him to like. Actually display the competence he supposedly has.
But still, I think we're all happy that they do have this wrap up. It seems like for the full experience, probably watching the actual finals where he comes champ will be probably more of like a finishing sequence of this whole thing. But I think ultimately what I'm left with is it's not, to me, not having Pikachu feels like a bigger loss for them.
No, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
Than Ash himself, right? I don't know. Is Pikachu in the new seasons or no?
I keep meaning to, but I have not gotten around to it.
I don't think Pikachu's in.
I would be lying if I said I didn't have the time, because I definitely have the time. I just have not had the motivation.
So it's Horizons, right? So this
do not have Pikachu.
Yeah. But that's totally fine. Like, I think, because this, like, Horizons looks way more like modern anime than anything we've seen in Pokemon. Just because there's unique characters, you know what I mean? But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also, I wonder if it's. That'll be something I'll have to look into, but I wonder if the story structure is still the same. Like every episode is still like, oh, there's this one thing that's happening, or if they kind of try to focus on larger arcs, right?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, one of the things for 25 years of Pokemon is I can go into any episode and not be lost because there's new thing happening in that episode, and I wonder if there'll be a change kind of with new seasons where it's a little more full arc storytelling as opposed to just. You know, a monster of the week style thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think my only complaint about the new ones is that they did go with the name Liko, which sounds a bit goofy. There was a lot of arguments about whether or not her name was actually Liko localized or not, because like there's the whole thing with like Japanese characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say Riko and, like, would there's probably
no,
just
there's
be...
no Lee thing. So it's, or sorry, there's, yeah. But it should have just been Riko. Like it would have been easier. I think it just rolls off the tongue better.
I think the only reason why they didn't do that is because the other one's name is Roy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair, but like that's almost why I thought they were going to do it, because it's alliterative, right? Like, it, you know, not that everybody has to be alliterative. You know, Ash, Misty, and Brock certainly weren't, but, like, Jesse and James, you know? Like, it is ultimately a cartoon, so you're kind of like...
I'm just kind of looking right now. So the new season just ended March 7th this year. Mm-hmm. We're actually topical with this episode, I guess. but yeah, no, it seems like just the fact they have to reintroduce characters to kind of set up a bigger plot line. And it seems like it was one run, right? Like, it wasn't like we're just going to keep going. They got 50 episodes out of it, but oh no, is it still releasing weekly? It is releasing weekly. Never mind. It's doing the whole show.
That sounds more
correct. Sounds about right. But I think just having like a 10, you know, probably 10 episodes to set up the new characters, the new Pokemon, and the new, you know, world. Two new protect Liko and Roy. Rising Volt Tacklers, a group of adventurers that explore the Pokemon world and visit various regions, including the Paldea region, which is introduced in Scarlet and Violet. Yeah. So, I mean, it's following the games as well, which is very standard for Pokemon.
Yeah. But I do like how they're not just cribbing characters from the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could, though, right? They could have, like...
I'm sure game characters will show up. I just mean, like... I do appreciate that, like, it's not just they've kind of moved beyond just being like, all right, we'll just take one of the protagonists or rivals from the game and then like make them into the character of that region, like with Dawn and Serena and May.
Yeah,
Axe. That's May's brother.
It is really funny that like Max was retroactively added into Emerald.
Yeah.
They just added this, like, tiny child in Little Root. I'm like, huh.
Well, that's just because Advanced Battle is the ultimate test.
It's true. Whoa.
I know the original Pokemon team is iconic, but I love Advanced Battle so much.
No, it's pretty good. It's definitely one of the better ones. I always get a good laugh thinking about like Hoenn particularly and the transition to it, because they led into Gold and Silver like fairly smoothly, I believe.
Yeah,
it's been a hot minute, but like, you know, they just kind of like, oh, we're in Johto now. Like, it's a whole, like, thing. And I was, like, trying to figure out when they were going to, like, jump into that with Hoenn. And, like, it just wasn't coming. And then, like, the end of the Johto episodes, I remember there was, like, one with, like, a Larvitar. And there was something going on. And, like, I don't know how I got it into my head, because it was definitely just, like, 11-year-old me being not particularly media literate, but I was absolutely convinced that Hoenn was being treated as like another dimension.
Are you wrong?
I'm like, that's gonna be weird. How are they working that out?
Is this have you ever been into like you start watching a series and then like you're like, wait, how did like I feel like I missed something, but you didn't miss anything? Right. Like second season, I don't know if you ever watched Code Geass, but the second season, and I have this weird like, is this even like the same show, but it is the same show, but it isn't? Like, is this a spinoff?
I'm
gonna
say something controversial. I blame the French for that one.
The French?
Because Code Geass is a French series. With all that entails. Yeah.
Are you talking about Code Lyoko? Are you talking about
Code Lyoko? I'm crazy.
You're talking about Code Lyoko. I am.
No, my brain dropped fully out of my head.
What?
me dropping the secret Code Geass lore.
No. The funniest thing is that, like, if you were just taking a lore perspective, you're right, because the divergent point in Code Geass's alt history is Napoleon wins.
Oh my god.
So I guess technically it is the French's fault.
Like... All right, anyway, I think we should finish this Pokemon episode, because the people listening to this Pokemon episode, they've went through our whole thing, which keeps having people listen to. I know, but like they've listened to the whole like people are still listening in droves, even though we're not recording episodes, so very much appreciated.
I respect them for that.
This is, yeah, we'll kind of be releasing as there are a couple more like games and stuff I'd like to get to. Like, I'd like to do the expansion for the Scarlet and Violet, and then I'm sure another new game will come out. So,
we've got time for the new game because they're not doing like a main series. I mean, if you want to get like pedantic about it, yes, Legends.
We can do a Legends game,
whatever it is.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
We're going to do an episode once or twice a year for this. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Here.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, if people want to get pedantic, yes, the Legends games are considered main series. But, like, the next gen isn't until next year at least. So
I'm excited and dreading the next Legends game.
I don't know how, like, the only thing I'm, like, skeptical's the wrong word. I want to see how they do it. Lumios being, like, all one thing is like interesting.
It could be incredible, it could be terrible, and I
yeah, exactly, like there's no middle ground. Like, it's either gonna crack off like without any kind of like, you know, thing, or it's just gonna be like, oh,
there it is.
Oh, I guess 12 frames
the hype of the first game
2024 is just expected now.
Anyway, point being, if you want to follow her, like, I'll add the link as well for a Zelda podcast if you want some more frequent releases, and we're gonna have that, and yeah, if you want to stay on this feed, we'll release kind of once or twice a year. I think we should like wrap up the whole kind of final arc here and general thoughts maybe on the Pokemon anime. I'm happy. It was a nice kind of like nostalgic thing for me. I got to watch a couple episodes. I don't think it'll entice me to watch the new seasons, I'm gonna be honest, just because that's the nature of it. But I'm very happy that they wrapped it up. This could have been done like 10 years ago, and I don't think it would have had any effect either. I think it's kind of like time for some new stories to be told. And it is kids programming, and that's like, I watched it with that lens, and then that's why I could enjoy it. But if I watched this way from like a, you know, going from Game of Thrones to this, I'm like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, it's better than Game of Thrones did. So,
ayo. Anyway, so yeah, I appreciated it. I hope you enjoyed our review. Matt, what are your final thoughts here? And then we'll have Tristan.
My final thoughts are, I liked it. I think it could have maybe been a bit more bold in how it was doing things, because this is due to the nature of this is explicitly going to be watched by people who grew up with Ash. Like, you know, younger children aren't going to be terribly interested in the end of a character they barely know. Overall, I think it was pretty decent. But yeah, I'm not super like, oh, I gotta see what comes next kind of thing, I definitely need to watch the entire rest of the previous season I missed. I kind of got the gist
just with the files. Yeah. Maybe that's the recommendation to go watch like the last couple battles.
Yeah, go watch the 4-part finale for Leon's fight. It's good. It's very Ash in how he solves a lot of the problems, but like, Leon actually comes off as a better character than he did in Sword and Shield. And very, he at least is using tactics. It's kind of interesting. So that's an entertaining time. That's my recommendation. If you want to finish off Ash as a character, watch that instead.
The previous 10 episodes are probably more climactic than the final 10 episodes. Maybe put it that way.
Mm-hmm. And like, on some level, I do appreciate there being like some falling action, because a good story does need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they maybe went a little bit too.
It felt like a lot of effort was put into the previous 10 episodes.
A little bit too far.
And then they're like, let's just release these episodes by the numbers, you know? And
yeah.
But yeah, any other final thoughts, Tristan?
No.
There you have it. Thank you everyone for listening once again. Thank you, Matt and Tristan, for being on and indulging me in these podcast episodes every month or two. I hope all of our listeners generally, we're still around, we're going to still release episodes, but I feel like our, you know, our Ash Ketchum, you know, our kind of main format of the show, I feel like it was nice that I can finish a podcast like in the previous episode and feel almost like I've like the thing I set out to do, review all the games we did, right? And we've ranked them and all that. And that was super nice. And so I appreciate anyone who's still listening and will listen to these new episodes. And just know that that's our plan to keep releasing in a semi-annual basis as a maybe. If you enjoy us three, once again, Zelda Podcast, it's up and running. And we already have like six episodes there. So it's actually moving. And so those will be releasing a little more frequently. Anyway, from all of us here, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful whatever day or whatever's happening to you. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Yep. See you guys.